Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's September the 7th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with the folks at AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. And we'll discuss today's cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. In agricultural news, the chief economist at USDA says ethanol will keep corn prices higher, and that it will take another 10 million acres to meet demand by the end of the decade. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with meteorologist Peter Levitt. He'll join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast on this Thursday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, WILLAG.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to WILOAg.org and put the AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts to work for you.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
One programming note as we get started this afternoon, our very, very good and capable engineers are at the transmitter today. I believe that's where they are. And from time to time, you might hear the things drop out. That's not your end of the programming content. That's our end. We're doing some work out of that transmitter, I believe. So if you've been hearing some dropouts, that's the reason. It's kind of like, once in a while, there's a great big machine over in Indian Point, which is in a rock quarry, a giant size crane, and it's been running for years. They never shut it off because it's too hard to start. And when they change the oil, they have to change it while it's running. So this is what's happening, relatively speaking, out at the transmitter. On this Thursday afternoon, this is the way the numbers finished at Chicago Board of Trade. September wheat today at 403.5 settlement price. They were up 4.5 cents today. December futures, 420.25, 3.25 higher. September corn futures, 230.75, up 4.5. And December contract and nickel higher at 245.75. The March futures at 259.75, 4.25 higher. And December contract at 291.75, up 2.75. September soybeans, 538.5, 4.5 higher. November futures at 550. They're up 3.25. In January futures, 563.25, 3.5 cents higher. November contract in the bean pit at 610.75. That's for next year. Down 0.5 cent today. Bean meal futures September contract up 1 at 159.60. Soybean oil futures at 24.26. They're off 0.02 for the day. Feeder cattle September contract 119.22.5, 25 cents higher. October live cattle at 93.75, down 70 cents. December live cattle at $93 even. They're off 85 for the day. And the October lean hogs were down 75 cents at 67.07.5. Outside markets, crude oil futures $67.30. On the last tick, they were down 20 for the day. The CRB index at 323.76, off 176. And the Dow now at 11,345, down just about 60 points at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Well, things have been kind of interesting at the Chicago Board of Trade and in the cash market. What happened at the board today? Was it simply that Keith Collins, as we'll hear in the news segment a little bit later, was talking about the, 10 million extra acres and that ethanol was going to have to push corn higher?
Well, I would suspect that that was a contributing factor to help mute Infoma's crop estimate here, suggesting that maybe the USDA could come out with a little larger number than the August estimate, and that would kind of go against what most in the trade have kind of been thinking here over the past 2 to 3 weeks. Most, are kind of in the camp that the August number is plenty high, and there's could be even room for the thing to come down some. I think it is supportive in the fact that we were able to do that. We did a quick turnaround. I mean, if you look at price action today, you got a nice outside up in corn. Chart-wise, I think I would like to see some, decent follow-through activity here on Friday to kind of close out the week. But I think that made a big, big step toward solidifying the August low as an early seasonal low. And now we are, in a sideways to higher climb as we, really get harvest underway in here.
Farmers will be interested in the cash side of this market. You've been watching the basis, I know. How do you feel about LDP?
Well, I guess I'm kind of in the camp I've been in, the camp that what little LDP we were going to have was going to be skinny. There's probably, it still depends upon the size of the actual crop, but based upon what I see in the chart pattern, and the way the market has performed basically since middle August, we did go into the LDP territory, I think, 2 or 3 days for 2 or 3 cents or something like that for a while, but we really haven't been back there since we made that. I don't think that's going to happen, at least during the first part of harvest. If we come back and visit the LDP levels, my guess is going to be more toward the end of harvest, and only if the crop is really big. If everybody's missing it again like they did last year, and the crop does go well beyond everybody's expectations, then I think we could maybe be back into LDP territory, maybe late October, early November. But I think that's a real slim shot at this point. I think the stone has been cast here, or the die's been cast, and we're in a sideways to higher climb here. End users are short. They need to get this stuff bought. Farmers, I think, are going to be generally tight holders of grain. I think downside price risk or downside movement is probably pretty skinny at this point.
On the LDP, there's a 15, 16, 17 cent LDP in Illinois and Indiana for the soybeans at this point. Have we seen lows there, and what are you telling producers about
that?
Well,
I think we're maybe getting close. My cyclical work kind of indicated, late September maybe could drag on into early October, which would be fairly seasonal on soybeans. But now today we did post a reversal up, mm-hmm. and I think that might be indicating that we're trying anyway. If beans go up, it's going to have to be pulled by corn. I mean, you could see corn is the one that kind of started up here today. Wheat is in a sideways to higher climb. So it kind of fits that beans low came later than the corn and wheat, where corn and wheat had their August lows and now in a sideways to higher climb. And beans here, it kind of took another 3-4 weeks for them to kind of find a low. But I don't look for probably much on the upside on soybeans probably until we get past the next week's report, because everybody's braced up for a pretty big report, and since they are braced for a real big number, it could be today could be the low in the sense is that maybe USDA doesn't come out with as high a number as everybody's talking about. And that would kind of solidify the today's action as maybe a possible early upturn in the soybean cycle.
Could there be a silver lining to this low in the bean market as it pertains to South America and their ability to actually borrow money to put a crop in the ground, which has to go in within the next couple of months? I know they have a long planting season there, but that might allow the beans to move higher and give farmers here better choice as to what their planting decision will be next week, next year?
I don't know if it'd be a silver lining or not. I guess I think it would be what the market would try to do is to probably encourage soybean plantings, or maybe not as much of a fall off. But I'm not too sure I want to stick my neck out quite on one day's worth of action, even though today's action is generally positive. I think there would have to be something else come along and unfold that. But, you know, my guess, at least at the moment, is I think the soybeans have reflected probably a fairly big number. I mean, we've been talking about a growing size in soybean crop ever since it started raining in August. So, you know, the trade, I think, is pretty well priced in a 3.1 billion bushel soybean estimate. And we'll kind of go from there, and we'll see how things unfold in South America. But I think beans will probably find support, spillover strength from the ideas of the need to pull acres of out of soybeans into corn to meet this growing ethanol demand deal. And that's probably going to, you know, help soybeans kind of pull out of this low.
We appreciate you being with us, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Thursday afternoons.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Pete Levitt should join us to take a complete look at the ag weather forecast. Our own Ed Kieser forecast tonight's clear to patchy fog forming across the two state. Lows will range from 53 in some southern locations to around 60 in the Chicago area. Mostly sunny tomorrow. Highs from the 80s in the northeastern part of Indiana to 86 in southwestern Illinois. Here's Dave Dickey with the agricultural news.
In agricultural news, USDA's chief economist says ethanol production will continue to grow in the U.S., resulting in higher corn prices. Testifying before a Senate committee yesterday, Keith Collins says that if a dry mill plant gets $2.50 for ethanol, cash corn prices could go as high as $5. The all-time record high season average corn price is $3.24, that in 1995-96. Collins says ethanol producers will bid corn away from other traditional uses, and he says exports are more likely to decline than U.S. feed use, unless more corn is planted and trend line yields continue to improve.
Productivity is growing about 2 bushels a year. We know from seed companies that they believe we're on the threshold of some very bigger changes in corn yields in coming years. Our typical yield right now is about 150 bushels per acre. Theoretically, corn can produce 300 bushels per acre.
Collins says by 2010, at current U.S. feed and export levels, producers will need to plant about 90 million acres of corn. This year, producers planted 79.4 million acres. Collins says additional corn acres could come out of the Conservation Reserve Program.
We do have 36 million acres in the United States set aside from production for environmental reasons. We only farm about 325 million acres in principal crops. So we're talking about 10% of our cropland is set aside in the Conservation Reserve Program. Some of that land can be farmed economically and sustainably.
Collins says for corn to take those extra acres, cash corn prices would have to rise above $3.10 a bushel. The Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service says efforts to register beef producers as premises has slowed dramatically. To date, APHIS has registered 297,000 premises, roughly 14% of the nation's total. APHIS wants to register 550,000 premises by the end of the year and has spent more than $2 million on communication with producers since April 11th. But all those dollars have resulted in just 62,000 additional registrations. Two U.S. senators have introduced a bill that would provide $6 billion to producers who suffered weather-related losses last year and this year. The bill was introduced yesterday by Kent Conrad of North Dakota and Tim Johnson of South Dakota. The measure is twice that of a bill previously submitted in the Senate. Sources in Washington say there's little chance the Johnson-Conrad bill will be debated as a standalone measure. The two senators may try to attach the bill to other legislation. Meanwhile, eight Midwestern governors, including Illinois' Rod Blagojevich, have signed a letter pressing Congress to pass comprehensive drought aid. Free trade talks between the U.S. and South Korea resumed yesterday. U.S. officials are hoping this third round of negotiations will produce an accord that would perhaps be the biggest of its kind for the U.S. since NAFTA. More discussions are scheduled for October and perhaps December. And the Japanese fast food chain that made its fame on a rice dish topped with U.S. meat says the beef bowl will return on September 18th after a two-year hiatus caused by mad cow disease. But the chain says it will have just 1 million servings, which are likely to sell out before the day is over. The chain says it will offer the beef bowl on a limited basis the first 5 days of October and the first 5 days of November. The chain says it cannot produce a sufficient supply because of Tokyo's decision to allow only import of U.S. cattle 20 months or younger in lifting its beef ban. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, inviting you to tomorrow's Pumpkin Day right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Out at the Vegetable Crops Research Farm, that's south of the Assembly Hall on 1st Street between Windsor and Curtis. It'll be on the west side of the road. So you go south of the Assembly Hall on 1st Street, past Windsor, but before Curtis on the west side of the road. You should see a little tent out there. From 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock, you can visit with all the folks that we have working in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences on pumpkin production. Registration is free, and there is a lunch that will be provided. Your opportunity to talk with the folks like Mohammed Bombadoust and a few others that are interested in doing research on pumpkin. By the way, if you're thinking that's a little bit odd, 90%, get this, 90% of the pumpkins that are raised in the U.S. for processing come from the state of Illinois. So pumpkin research is big here on this campus. Your opportunity to talk with the researchers tomorrow between 10 and 2 o'clock on the South Farms. Just go south on 1st Street between Windsor and Curtis Road. Well, up next, in today's listener opinion forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochkis says women play an important role on and off the farm.
As the old cliche goes, behind every great man, there's a woman. The same can be said for agriculture, but with a twist. Standing beside most successful male farmers, you'll find a woman hard at work. Women have always played a critical role on the farm, but now more farm women are finding themselves in a new role, working to help support their farming husbands and the family homestead with off-farm revenue. They work as teachers, nurses, paralegals, and in many other professions that provide health insurance and other benefits, in addition to a stable income, so that their families can continue the farming business. Take Farm Bureau member Becky Baldosser, a full-time registered nurse. The main reason Baldosser works off the farm is because it provides an insurance package and retirement plan. Her nursing career also affords the family the opportunity to take vacations and participate in extracurricular school activities. Off-farm income continues to grow in importance across the entire agriculture sector. The average farm household is far more dependent on off-farm income than income generated from the farm. In fact, off-farm income has grown steadily to account for 80% of the average farm household income. There are many reasons why women are choosing to work away from the homestead. Farm Bureau economists say, in many instances, it comes down to a capital issue and the need for a regular stream of income to run the household. And while many men also work away from the farm to help generate additional income, it is women who represent a growing share of off-farm revenue. Statistics show that 39% of women work off the farm compared to 32% of men. In addition to working off the farm, women also tend to manage the farming business by keeping the books, ordering supplies, maintaining customer relations, developing marketing plans, and overseeing many other aspects involved in running a successful family business. Becky Baldosser manages the farm's accounts payable and receivable. Women not only bring home the bacon, they manage the farm's business side of getting the pig to market. This is Amy Rochkis with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkis' comments are her own and reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, just give us a call at 217-333-0850.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
On this Thursday afternoon, as he always does from his office in Lexington at the elevator, Bill Mayer, Roach Ag Marketing, joins us to take a look at the cash grain market. Hi, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Basis in your area doing what today?
Getting better. Processors on corn and beans both are coming in pretty good here again today. I think we're kind of seeing a little bit of an attitude, at least in this area, that maybe this crop may be a little bit later than what people expected. And if you thought you needed 2 or 3 weeks worth of grind, maybe you really need, you know, 3.5 or 4. So I think that's what we're kind of seeing right now.
Yeah, so it's kind of caught them up short prior to harvest just a bit, and they're having to bid up. Does this mean you think there'll be a fall off at some point again in the marketplace for the cash side?
I guess I'm a mind to that. I was just discussing that with a customer, and I think we still have that possibility that we'll get, when we get into harvest, we'll see grain move that maybe moves regardless of price. You know, there'll still be some push in some of this trying to keep things moving here at harvest time. And I guess I still think that we can see this market move back down and probably make new harvest lows at some point.
I guess I need to talk with Darrell Good. It used to be that about 80% of the corn in the United States was sold over the scale in the fall, and that wasn't too terribly long ago. I don't know how that's changed in the last decade.
Well, I've got it. I think off the U of I site there, I think it's somewhere around over 50% by January. I was looking at, you know, where they figure the counter-cyclical payment on the farm dock site there.
Sure, sure. Well, we'll go back and talk to Darrell about that a little bit. But that does mean that there's an awful lot of corn that's moving into the pipeline during the harvest season.
That's exactly right.
Cash basis in your area has improved. What are your bids?
210 for cash corn, 225 for January, 508 for beans, 525 for Jan.
Anything else we ought to discuss before I let you go?
No, I don't think so. I think today was kind of interesting because we did see some of the lead take place on the electronic exchange. Some of the buying was taking place on the electronic exchange instead of the pit, and that got some of the floor people kind of wondering what was going on.
Would that be fund buying potentially, or just
outside
interest?
Well, it was kind of hard to tell. The firms that were doing it, from what they could tell, which again you can't see as much when it's electronic, but it could have been either commercial or fund.
All right, thanks much.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate it.
Bye.
And that is Bill Mayer, Roach Ag Marketing, out of Lexington, Illinois. Kind of an interesting thought there at the end that you could hide that during the day just a bit if you wanted to trade on the electronic side. Of course, the open cry, outcry, and the electronic trade running side by side in Chicago, and has been for the better part of a month now. In just a couple of minutes, we'll take a look at the agriculture weather with Peter Levitt. Right now, your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. A judge in Bloomington has set a November 6th trial date for a Bloomington police sergeant charged in four rapes, but his attorney says he'll probably have to seek a delay. Steve Skelton is Sergeant Jeff Pelo's defense attorney, but he also represents Amanda Hamm, who's scheduled to go to trial in October in the drowning deaths of her three children in Clinton Lake. Skelton says he isn't sure he'll be free by November 6th. Some University of Illinois trustees say they worry the new global campus initiative is moving too fast to ensure it meets the university's high academic standards. U of I officials outlined details of the new online academic program at today's trustees meeting in Urbana. They say the global campus will maintain U of I standards while opening the school's degree program to a new audience, people who can't spend four or more years in a traditional college setting. But trustee Naranjan Shah says he's surprised and shocked at the speed at which officials are moving with the program. University officials expect to ask for trustee approval of the global campus program in November so that it can start accepting students next fall. A federal appeals court in Chicago spent an hour today listening to oral arguments over a lower court ruling that barred the Indiana House from opening its sessions with sectarian prayers. House Speaker Brian Bosma, who's seeking to overturn the ban, expects the case to go to the U.S. Supreme Court. Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich has declared Rockford and Winnebago counties a state disaster area. The region was hit by severe floods on Labor Day that left more than 150 homes and businesses with severe damage. From now through Tuesday, the art gallery at the University of Illinois Alumni Union in Urbana features the portraits of Illinois soldiers who died in Iraq and Afghanistan. Eastern Illinois University student Cameron Schilling drew the 132 portraits. He says he was inspired after a soldier in his hometown of Mattoon was killed in Iraq 2 years ago. Schilling's portraits come to Urbana after exhibits in Chicago, DuQuoin, and Springfield. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL. I'm Todd Gleason, joined on a Thursday afternoon by Pete Levitt to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about this weekend and tomorrow. What kind of weather can we expect up front?
Well, we've got a cold front approaching from the northwest rather slowly. It's a large, cool, high-pressure system over the Canadian prairies, which is going to sort of slip southeastward without really plunging down on us. So that will allow one more day of warm temperatures tomorrow. We'll see temperatures back up around or into the 80s tomorrow with some cloudiness around. And then the front goes by and immediately gets overrun by precipitation late Saturday and into Sunday and Monday. So Sunday and Monday look like showery days across much of the state and adjacent areas of Indiana. Before it clears out on Tuesday for a day or two, and then more rain later in the week. So we get a good day tomorrow, and we get deteriorating weather on Saturday, still probably okay, and then Sunday, Monday look pretty showery.
Cool temperatures have slowed down the maturation of both the corn and soybean crop in the Midwest.
Yes, it will a bit. They're running ahead of schedule, so that probably won't bother anybody.
And then rainfall, farmers always get worried about having to mud a crop out.
Yeah, they may have to do that because I think we're looking at a wet pattern when you look at the ensuing week. Is even into the end of next week, the following weekend. It looks like it gets pretty wet from the southern plains right on east-northeastward across the Midwest. We're also looking at maybe the first really good shot of cold air coming. That's not until the week after this coming week. That's a little far ahead to be too precise about, but it looks like we get our first hint of some frosty weather coming down the early part of the week after next.
Do you have your finger on the pulse of South America and the planting season there?
Yeah, they did finally get some showers in the Argentine and the wheat country there, which has had a problem with drought and most of the season now that you know the winter season has ended down there. Brazil did pick up some very good showers and they could use the rain in southern and central Brazil. They had a little shot of cold weather with some frost in the south, not far enough north to affect the frost sensitive crops, but it did it was a late season frost event. Warmer weather's on the way there.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
Yeah, I would say Australia is still the problem area for crops right now. They've had a very dry season, only a few episodes of showers here and there, but still too dry, and their crop, their winter crop, mostly their wheat crop, has not fared very well.
We'll check in with you again in a week.
Yes, my pleasure.
All right, thanks. Peter Levitt joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Thursday afternoon. Checks in on the agricultural weather forecast and the growing regions around the globe. That is today's CMR. Just remember to join us tomorrow morning at 8:49. That for our first look at the agricultural markets on the pre-opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. And visit our website at willag.org. Dave tells me, and while I haven't been there the day, that he has posted expectations for ending stocks in next Tuesday's report up on the website. So if you'd like to see those, you can go do that at willag.org. Have a good afternoon and be safe during this harvest season. I'm Todd Gleason.